Turn this morning with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, for our scripture reading. Ephesians, chapter 4. This is God's Word, breathed out by the Holy Spirit and given to us for our edification, for our admonition, for our encouragement and instruction. Let us hear the word of God. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Thus ends the reading of God's word. May he bless it to our hearing, that we might walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. direct your attention particularly to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 for our sermon text. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 is all one great statement. What a mighty statement it is. Its purpose is to tell us why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has appointed the various special offices in the church and given men gifts to fill those special offices. The purpose of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is to perfect the church, to make her entire and complete in every respect. Verses 12 and 13 give a general positive statement of the purpose of pastors. God has given pastors to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is a great goal. That is what God wants us, his people, to be and become. Paul states it negatively in verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And then Paul returns to the positive in verse 15. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. God has designed the gift and office of pastor in the church to build up the body and enable it to function harmoniously as the body of Christ, which he describes in verse 16. In this passage, the Holy Spirit gives us a wonderful picture of the church. It is only as we have a right view of the church that we will begin to function properly. For example, evangelism is the task of the church. The first question with regard to evangelism is not the state of the world outside, but the condition of the church. If we have defective views of the church and its functioning, we will use worldly and carnal methods of evangelism. If we see the church as God sees it, however, we will use God's methods of evangelism. And that is why it is so important to understand the true nature of the church. Our text tells us that God gives pastors to the church for three main reasons: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Each of these three purposes is preceded by the preposition for. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. In the Greek text, the first preposition, for, is a different word from the second and third prepositions. The first, for, is more general than the others. The first, for, gives the ultimate or the general purpose, whereas the second and third, for, refer to more immediate or particular purposes. There is a grand end or purpose to which the two intermediate purposes lead. The ultimate purpose of all these offices in the church is the perfecting of the saints. The way in which God perfects the saints is through the gift of ministry. the function of which is to edify the body of Christ. There is an ultimate objective, and there are more immediate objectives. A saint is a man who has been separated from the world. The word saint means holy one. Christ has given pastors for the perfecting of the holy ones. A holy one was a person who has been taken out of where he was and set apart. The Holy Spirit uses this term often in the New Testament. And it's used often in the Old Testament as well. In the Old Testament, God made a mountain holy and set it apart for God's use. God made the vessels in the temple holy when the priests sprinkled blood upon them. That is the way that God chose to sanctify them and separate them for himself and for his holy service and worship. The way that God wants us to think of ourselves as a Christian, as members of his church, is that God has separated us from the world. Therefore, we are no longer profane. We no longer belong to that kingdom of darkness, that kingdom of sin. God has moved us. God has separated us. God has set us apart for himself. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are God's own special people. We are a people for God's own special possession. God himself has segregated us. God himself has separated us. Many in the church do not realize this. They do not realize that God has separated them from the world. The result is that the church is too much like the world. The world has come into the church, and it has become difficult to tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. The word saint reminds us of the whole process by which God calls us out of the world and out from sin and out from the ungodly and separates us for himself and puts us on his side and on his side alone. Let us rejoice in the fact that we are saints, and let us glory in our high calling. The first purpose of pastors is for the perfecting or equipping of the saints. The word perfect means that God has made us fit to serve the end or the object that he has recreated for us. Picture in your mind that something which we desire to use is not yet perfect. We must do certain things to it in order to fit it for that end and object. This requires us to supply certain deficiencies or mend and adjust certain parts that are not quite right. The word perfect comes from fitting together into one body. It is used for setting bones which had become dislocated. When a bone is dislocated, that particular part of the body to which that bone belongs is not right. But when the bone is set, when the bone is put again into the right alignment with that part of the body, the part becomes perfect again. The idea of the word perfecting or equipping in our text is that all these different parts and members of the body of Christ must be put into the right alignment or properly adjusted, and that each one should be fully developed. The Apostle Paul is using the analogy of the church as the body of Christ. We are all together the body of the Lord Jesus, but we are members in particular. Every one of us has to be perfected. As everyone is perfected, the whole body or the whole church will be perfected. God the Holy Spirit is working in every one of us. He is making us fit properly into our particular place in the church as a member of Christ. And the result is that the whole body will function in an harmonious and delightful and fruitful way. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ has appointed for His church has that end and that object in view. He's making the body of Christ and all of its members perfect and entire. How does the Lord accomplish this great goal in all the members of His body? The second statement in Ephesians 4, verse 12 is for the work of ministry. Some say that this means for the doing of service. Christ has set all these offices in the church in order that He might make us all fit or equipped for doing our particular service to Christ and His people. Some say that Paul is saying that all these offices in the church are designed to enable us as members of the body of Christ to serve one another. While these things are true, it is not what the Lord is emphasizing here in this verse. The whole context is against it. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the special offices in the church, not the general office of believer. In verse 12, he mentions several special offices in the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He's not referring to the general office of every believer in the church, as he does at the end of chapter 4. In verse 16 and to the end. Now here in this text, the Apostle Paul illustrates the gifts which the ascended and exalted Christ gives to His church by picking out certain special offices and the purpose of those gifts and callings in the church. In our text, the Apostle Paul emphasizes that the Lord has appointed a form and an order of ministry in His church. Paul specifically mentions those who hold ministerial offices in the church. Throughout the New Testament, this Greek word for ministry is generally used in that sense and with that connotation. For example, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, "Who then is Apollos? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one." What Paul means by the words, "as the Lord gave to each one," is as the Lord has appointed His office to every man. He goes on to say in verse 6, "I planted." That was the work that God gave the Apostle Paul. Apollos watered. That was the task God gave him. Paul says that both he and Apollos were ministers. And he uses this same language in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. "Let a man so consider us as servants or ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Here, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the ministerial office in the church, the office of the pastor or the minister of God's Word. The risen Lord, Jesus Christ, in all His glory, has given these gifts to His church. The office of minister is not instituted by men. Christ Himself has ordained this office in His church, and He has appointed men to serve in this office. Christ has decided the nature of this office. Christ has given to particular men gifts for this office and placed them in this office in His church. They are ministers of Christ in His church. The apostles and the prophets were ministers of Christ in His church. Now, evangelists and pastors and teachers are all ministers of Christ in the church and stewards of the mysteries of God. What ministers do in the church every day and also on the Lord's Day is not something man has devised and developed over the centuries. Some people think it is. No, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself designed and gave it to His church. We ministers do it as our duty because Christ has called us to do it. The perfecting of the saints cannot happen apart from the work of ministry. This work of the ministry is for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edify means build up. The Apostle Paul has already used this word at the end of Ephesians chapter 2. Where he writes in verses 20 through 22, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Jesus used this same idea in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Paul uses this same idea of building in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here in our text in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul uses two metaphors. He speaks of the functioning of the body and he combines the idea of constructing a building with the growth of that body. He writes about building up the body. Today we talk about bodybuilding. Paul teaches that the work of the ministry in the church is for the spiritual building of the body, or it's for spiritual bodybuilding. The work of the ministry is to promote spiritual growth and development in God's people. Do not think that our text is only for a theological seminary or for a gathering of ministers, and that it has nothing to do with you, the members of the church, who do not have the special office of minister. This text is important for every member of the church, because Jesus Christ gave ministers to the church to perfect or equip and build up every member of the body of Christ. Too often the members of the church have controlled what the minister says in the pulpit and have done great harm in the church. Too often the members of the church think that the pastor is their servant. Not the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The servant of the true and living God. Paul warns Timothy, a young minister, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, that the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. This is true today in the church, and it has been true in a large measure for the last century in our country. It has greatly damaged the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the result that we have the great immorality and ungodliness and wickedness that is so prevalent today in our society and even in our civil government and in families and even in the church of the Lord Jesus. And that is why it is vitally important that every member of the church has a right understanding of the church and the office of the minister or pastor or teacher. There are many churches around us that appear on the surface to be flourishing. People crowd into them and have great zeal and enthusiasm. But upon closer examination, you will find that most of the time is taken up with various kinds of music and entertainment, using many media and using technology. The service starts at 10 or 11 a.m. and must finish promptly 1 hour later. And there will be real trouble if it does not. And during that hour, there's a brief address of 15 to 20 minutes at the most. If the minister does not understand what God calls him to do in the church, he is afraid to go against the wishes of the majority. His livelihood depends upon the church members. He is essentially a businessman giving his customers what they want. And the result is that everyone is made to conform to the desires and wishes of the people in the church. It is essential and most important that every member of the church understand the purpose and the function of the minister is for the edifying of the body of Christ. We see over and over again in the history of the church that when the listeners and the members of the church control the minister and the minister lacks the courage to serve the Lord Jesus Christ rather than the people, he does not preach the whole counsel of God's word faithfully, as he should. And the result is that the church is sick or even dies. It becomes weak. It becomes lifeless. It becomes useless. It loses its flavor. It becomes just like the sinful and ungodly world around it. And that is what has happened to many of the churches in our land today. God does not want the members of the church to dictate what the minister does. The minister also must not dictate what he does. The Lord Jesus Christ himself determines what is done in the church. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he has given these gifts and these special offices to his church. He has given the pastor for the edification of the members of the church. A faithful minister preaches God's message without fear or favor. A faithful minister preaches as the servant of the living God, as the ambassador, the herald of the great King of Kings. A faithful minister must proclaim what God has revealed in his word. We need to recapture something of the spirit of the Scottish reformer John Knox, whose preaching caused Mary, Queen of Scots, to tremble. The work of the ministry is to build up the body of Christ. It is the business or the work of ministers to build up the church, not to build up themselves. Too often ministers have built up themselves. What an utter disgrace it is to the teaching of the Apostle Paul. And to what God tells us here in his word. Ministers are called to build up, not to entertain, not to please. And the way in which they are to build up the church is given us in Acts chapter 20. In Paul's words to the church elders from Ephesus, verse 32. He said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The word of God's grace is able to build you up. And Paul says the same thing in Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. We find the same teaching in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where Paul says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed out by the Holy Spirit, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, completely equipped for every good work." Or again, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, because you were not able to have solid food yet. In the book of Hebrews, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have many things to say, but because you're dull of hearing, because you need to be taught the first principles of the oracles of God, when you should be teachers, we must give you milk and not strong food, solid food, strong meat. Everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's still a babe. But solid food belongs to those that are mature. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised or trained or disciplined so that they're able to discern both good and evil. You see, all of these passages of Scripture instruct us about the work of the ministry. They show the way in which the ministers of God are to build up the body of Christ. It's by preaching and teaching God's Word. The Word of God's grace, which is able to build you up. The work of the ministry does not consist in talking about current affairs or current events. The minister is not to find his message in the newspapers or on the TV or the radio. He's not to be entertaining the people by telling them stories or provoking laughter. He's to preach the word. And this is the only word which can build up the church and build up every member of the body of Christ. How does the word of God to be preached? How should ministers of God's word preach his word in the church? The first rule is that there must be pure doctrine preached, the pure doctrine of God's word. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Pure means unadulterated. Pure means without something else mixed in with it. Pure means measuring up to God's perfect standard, passing the test. The pure, unadulterated milk of the Word of God. This is not the Word of man. It is the Word of God. It's not surprising that the church is as it is today because she has been fed and nurtured with philosophy and with entertainment and with the wisdom of man. By those means, a minister may attract and keep a crowd for a while, but they cannot build up the people of God. They cannot perfect the saints. And the purpose and the calling of a minister of the Word of God is to build up the saints, the ones that God sets apart for himself, not attract a crowd. Nothing builds up but the unadulterated Word of God. There's no authority apart from God's Word. We must not modify or trim or adjust the Word of God to suit modern science or to suit some criticism, higher criticism, lower criticism, the ideas and the wisdom of men, which are always changing, which are always moving. No, this is the everlasting gospel. This is the eternal word of God. This is the same word which the Apostle Paul and the other great apostles preached. This is the same word which the Protestant reformers preached, which the Puritans preached, which the great preachers of 200 years ago proclaimed. without any modification. And because we have turned away from the sound and pure preaching of the unadulterated Word of God, the church is in the condition it is today. But secondly, the Word of God that is preached must be appropriate. It must be appropriate food for God's people. Paul says, "I did not feed you with meat, but I fed you milk." And the author of Hebrews says the same thing. You do not give solid food to a newborn baby. First, the babe has to feed on milk. The minister of God's word must have discernment and judgment. The child does not decide what diet is best for his own growth. The child wants to decide. He wants to decide what is best for himself. The child always wants to have what he likes. But the child does not know what is good for him. It's not the child's duty to decide. It is the duty of the parent to decide what is good for the child. And in spiritual matters, there is milk and there is solid food. And it is the duty of the minister of God's word to know the difference between the two. And to feed the people of God with the milk and the solid food of the Word of God. Otherwise, his preaching will not be edifying to all the saints. The Word of God is also to be applied to every circumstance in which the people of God find themselves. Some who listen to the Word of God are happy. Some are sad and troubled. Some are enduring persecution and tribulation. Some are suffering afflictions. Some are celebrating victory. But the Word of God speaks to all and builds up all in their particular circumstances. A full ministry of the whole counsel of God's Word will meet every condition and every conceivable circumstance in which God's people find themselves. This diet that builds up the people of God must not only be pure and appropriate, but it also must be full and balanced. It's important that we eat a balanced diet of food for our bodies. It's important also that our souls be fed with a balanced diet of the Word of God. Our spiritual food must be balanced. We must give attention to all the parts of the Word of God. We must take heed to ourselves and to the teaching of Scripture. We must be established in the truth of the Word of God. We must come to see its application for our hearts, for our minds, for our lives, for the world in which we live, for those around us, for the Church of Jesus Christ, for civil government, for family. In the history of the church, we see that it was through the mighty preaching of God's word that the church flourished the most. The great heroes of the faith were built up and strengthened through the doctrine of the Word of God. The great doctrines of the faith must be the basis of our Christian diet. But then also, that doctrine must be applied. Paul said that he warned every man. We need to be warned. Warned from the Scriptures. We need to be on our guard and to be watchful, not complacent and lazy. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Do we realize our responsibility for the condition of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the condition of the world in which we live? God will hold every one of us accountable. But there's not only warning from the Word of God, there's also reproof and correction. We like what makes us feel happy, rather than reproof and correction. But the Bible is filled with reproof. It's filled with correction. And we all need to be reproved and corrected in our lives, in how we use our money, in the priorities that we have in our lives, in how we use our time, in how we dress, and in every other part of our life. We need instruction in righteousness. We need to learn how to live a godly and holy and pure life. Here in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul goes on to give instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Paul tells Timothy to exhort with all long suffering. That means that the truth of God has to be applied to people in their lives. A ministry which merely states the truth without applying it has failed. The true preacher of righteousness, the true minister of the Word of God, urges and calls the people again and again and again to practice what the Lord commands. If we are concerned about the growth of a child, we stress the need for exercise. This will help growth and development. Our teaching must be balanced. As we hear the Word of God, we must hear all the doctrines of the Bible, and we must, with those doctrines, hear exhortation to use those doctrines, to apply those doctrines, to live out those doctrines. The Word of God must speak to our hearts. It must speak to our minds. It must speak to our wills. It must involve theory, ideas, as well as practice, things that we do because of those truths of the Bible. The Word of God is holy truth. It's meant to move your heart. It's meant to influence and affect your will. It's meant to teach and instruct your mind. And so the preacher of the Word of God, the one who ministers the gospel, must preach in a lively and an engaging manner with the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more devastating than a ministry which is only intellectual and which never disturbs the soul and heart and mind of the person, never moves anyone to do anything, to think differently, to grow. When we hear the Word of God, even doctrines that we've heard all our lives, if the Holy Spirit of God is at work, we see something more, something new that we hadn't realized before. Our hearts are moved, our lives are changed, our minds are expanded, our love increases. And finally, the Word of God must be done in a way that is attractive, in a way that calls people to live and grow in the knowledge of Christ. A minister must be concerned about the souls of men. He must be careful to observe whether the people of God are growing and developing. Does not mean that he should be entertaining people or pleasing people, giving them what they want. No, what it means is that we must persuade men. We must pray for the working of the Holy Spirit that people might bear fruit through the hearing of God's word. The truth must be presented in an attractive way, like you serve a plate of food to someone. It must be in a spiritually attractive manner, not in a carnally attractive manner, not as entertainment. Paul tells us that a minister of God's word must show himself a pattern of godliness in his life and in his ministry. He is to manifest spiritual growth. He is to grow in understanding the doctrine of God's word. He is to grow in his concern about the truth of the scriptures and about living that truth in his own life, and in how he conducts himself in every way. Apostle Paul challenged the people at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. You are witnesses. And God also, how we have behaved ourselves among you that believe in a holy, just, and unblameable way. And he urges Titus to see and recognize the importance of showing himself a pattern of godliness and righteousness and holy living as a minister of the Word of God in the church. The Lord Jesus Christ himself has appointed the office of the minister or the pastor in the church for the perfecting of the saints. And his desire is that through the ministry of his word, all of God's people may be built up. His desire is that the whole body of Christ may be strengthened, that every part may be strong and powerful and give glory to Christ, the head of the church and the head of the body. And that all the parts of the body and the body as a whole may be conformed to the will and pleasure of the Lord. The living head, Jesus Christ, knows what the church needs. He knows what you need. And he appoints the offices, the special offices in the church. And he appoints the men and gives them the gifts to fill those offices and to do his work. It's a great and high calling to preach the Word of God. And we need the strength and the mercy of the Lord to do it right. We all need to know the Word of God's grace, for that is able to build us up in the most holy faith. Are you being built up in the faith? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you strong? Or are you weak? Are you energetic as a Christian? Are you able to stand up against the dangerous infections that are epidemic in our time? Are you spiritually healthy? Is God perfecting you through the ministers of his word as they preach and teach the whole counsel of Holy Scripture? Are you being edified or built up into a glorious body as members of the body of Christ? This is a solemn matter. Examine yourself. Look at your own heart. Look at your own life. Diligently use the means that God has appointed for your spiritual health, for your spiritual growth, for your spiritual edification. Do not become lazy. Do not become indifferent. Do not become complacent. But with zeal, with fervor, with purpose, press onward and upward toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That through the ministry of the Word of God, he may perfect you. And he may make you fruitful in every good work for the health and the prospering of his whole church. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given men the gifts and the calling to be ministers of yours and to minister your word by preaching and teaching your word in your church. That all the particular and individual members of your church, of the body of Christ, may be perfected. That they may be rightly fit and aligned to do all that you have called them to do. We thank you, Father, that you have blessed us with that ministry of your word. And we pray, Father, that you will strengthen it, purify it, bless it, make it effective, make it fruitful, use it mightily, attend it by your Holy Spirit. Stir up your people to faith and love and good works. And use it, Father, for the building up of your church, for the strengthening of the body of Christ, for the growth of each member. Use it, Father, for your great and holy purposes in this world. Use it, we pray, that sinners may be called from death into life, that they may be called out of sin into righteousness, that they may come to believe and embrace and obey the truth. And so, Father, we pray for all of your people, that they will grow, that they will diligently use the means of the ministry that you have commanded. And we pray for all your ministers, that they may be faithful, that they may rightly divide your word of truth, that they may faithfully feed the sheep, that they may faithfully call the lost to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and that you will give them all that they need to, with courage, boldness, and without fear or favor, open the words of life, the word of your grace, for you are pleased to use that to build up your church, even until our Savior returns. For his sake and for his glory, we pray these things. Amen.